Good morning, Napa Valley. Welcome to another edition of All Things Napa. I am your host, Lee W. Miller, and I'm excited to be in the studio today. I'm always excited to be in the studio. Not that this is my full-time job. I do have a full-time job as a realtor, and I love doing that job. But it's always fun to be behind the microphone and help promote local businesses. And that's what this show is all about. I am a self-confessed serial networker. I love connecting people. I love referring clients to other businesses and helping our community's businesses grow. This show is called All Things Napa, and we promote local businesses and we help people with those businesses attract more clients. That's the whole idea. We are a community that wants to support one another, particularly in business. We come together in emergencies and everybody's all lovey-dovey, and then we go back to fighting over politics and differences of opinion, and I want to try and change that and have us just kind of a Rodney King. Why can't we all just get along all the time? So we also have Bonnie Crevier. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
Garden Girls for us on the West Coast and Garden Girls for those from Massachusetts and Boston. So we are going to be talking about those things. Always welcoming of anyone that wants to suggest a guest or a topic. So please keep that in mind, and you can reach me at leewmiller@gmail.com and also 707-266-1585. And if you've not listened to the show before, when I'm not behind this microphone, I am a full-time realtor, past president of the Napa Association of Realtors, and founder of Napa Business Advantage. That is the premier business referral group in Napa Valley, not only because we exchange a lot of referrals to one another, but because our group also gives back to the community, and we do a quarterly mixer. Last night's mixer was very successful. We came up just a little bit short of our goal to raise $500 for Operation With Love from Home. So we'll dip into the Napa Business Advantage coffers and make up that difference and donate $500 to help pay for postage for those wonderful care packages that are being sent out by that great organization. All right. I've got such interesting guests today. I don't think that I want to do the normal real estate minute. I'm going to forego that. And so I'm going to bring Annette on. And Annette, you're going to want to speak directly into the microphone. So you can move that up and adjust it to your taste. But your mouth is going to be about a half an inch away from that microphone. And that way all the folks can hear you. And you are on the air, Annette. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So I thank you for agreeing to be on the show, and I hope that you get a whole bunch of business as a result of this. And there's still time to buy lots of chocolate for Christmas gifts and stocking stuffers and things of that nature. So let's start with just telling the folks who you are, how long you've been around, and then we'll just kind of have a conversation thereafter and let it flow however it flows.
Sure. Well, and as chocolates, I'm from Napa, born here in Napa at the Queen of the Valley Hospital, along with my brother, who is my partner in business, and my sister-in-law, Mary Stornetta, who's also a native Napan. And we've been here for a long time. We started the chocolate factory 28 years ago.
Wow,
and
28 years.
Yeah, we got really, really great training from chocolatiers that were already here in town. And so we've just carried and expanded it on for a long time. So we do the chocolate sauces with a little bit of wine or not.
Not that there's any alcohol in the sauces, right?
There is actually a little bit
no
of
kidding.
Yeah, there's a little residual left. Yeah,
lot
you do.
Of chocolate
you
sauce
do. You
to
wouldn't
get a
want
little...
to do that.
No.
And then brittles, and we do lots of truffles and old-fashioned chocolates with coconut, and then very modern, wonderful pieces with different flavor profiles. We just have a lot of fun. We have all kinds of packaging, fancy boxes, simple boxes, cello, you know, lots of different things that we offer for the holidays and every day.
So let's back up a little bit. How did you start this? I mean, did you start the company, or did you take it over from someone else, or were you working in the chocolate industry and said, this is kind of cool, let me do this on my own?
No, you know, I went to UC Davis, and I went and I majored in fruit crops. I am a very big ag person, but I just didn't see a future. And I had this bug for being an entrepreneur. My father's in construction. My family always. It's something that stuck in my heart to do something like that. I got my teaching credential, but it's still pushing to find that something that I could run and do and create. So I took a pause on teaching and taught for a short time. And then I found our old chocolate place of forever from Napa was going out of business. And I spoke with my father and I said, you know, could you help me perhaps fix the place up? And my mom, would you help me? My brother, hey, how would you like to work and train under the chocolate person, you know, the chocolatier and learn how to make chocolate? And it just sort of fell into place, and we learned on the job, and we created as we went, and everybody worked 6-7 days a week for years and years, and it's paid off, and we've been here ever since.
That's such a cool story. So, you know, a lot of times I ask people, so did you always know you wanted to be, you know, some that kind of a question? And everybody loves chocolate, but I don't think very many people say, I want to work in the chocolate industry and I want to own my own chocolate company. So I don't know if that crossed your mind as a child or not, but probably not, right?
Correct. It did not. What I really wanted, I did some traveling. I lived in Spain for a little while, and it was my first exposure to really, really fun coffee dessert shops. It was like a way of life. You'd stop at these small places. You have to remember at that time, which is a long time ago, 28, 29, 30 years ago, coffee shops weren't like they are today. The first Starbucks was just opening and blossoming in the Seattle area. They were starting to pop up around here. And they would. When I went to Davis, there was one coffee shop with dessert in the entire town.
Wow.
So when I came here, I just loved that way that you'd come to an area, have a cup of coffee, have a pastry, stay for 10 or 15 minutes, visit with somebody, and then go on your day and then do it again and again. I loved that.
Right.
And so that is something that I was searching for as a dessert coffee type. The chocolate was a bonus, and I was able to keep some of the staff, and they trained me, and they were all in their 60s and 70s. They stayed with us for years, and I still have an employee. She's been with us from the beginning.
Wow.
And she, at that time, she turned 50 when probably at my 25th year, and she's still working for us, and she's just, Sue O'Brien is fabulous, and she's been with us since the beginning.
And yep. Does she work in production? Or?
She's in our retail, and you'll see her packing away and doing them. She's in retail at our larger shop at 1321 First Street.
Right.
Yep.
And I got to give you kudos for the remodel. It's such a beautiful store front, and the decorative dripping chocolate on the wall. Whose idea was that?
Well, actually, you know, we rent our space from Mr. Zeller, Bob Zeller, Robert Zeller, and he's been a great landlord. And his son, Kevin Zeller, is a designer out of San Francisco. Fabulous. And Zero Net Design is who we used. And he had that idea. And we're very thankful for that because I really think it's an iconic, beautiful wall.
Yeah.
And it just, the whole design we liked. We wanted a cleaner, fresher design. And we also needed to shrink the space. Rents, you know, are getting high.
Right.
And we didn't need the full space.
What? Rents are high downtown?
Yeah. So we did not need 4,500 square feet anymore because we opened up our own kitchen a little bit farther away in Napa. And so we could really modernize our new shop. We also modernized our Oxbow shop a few years prior. So it's all about, you got to keep it fresh and creative with the times.
Right. And we're talking to Annette Madsen from Annette's Chocolate. And Les, do you think, because if you haven't been there, I'm not talking about literally chocolate dripping down the wall. It's a wooden two-dimensional, yeah, three-dimensional technically, I suppose, decor that gives the impression of chocolate dripping down the wall.
Correct.
Very artistic and unique. So so you mentioned when you were at Davis that you got your teaching credentials. So I suppose the logical thing is if you weren't doing this, you would be teaching somewhere?
You know, I think so. I love teaching. So when you own your own, you don't lose that.
Right.
So I had some really great courses, and I got my teaching credential at San Francisco, taught in some very interesting schools, great kids. You use those skills in everything you do when you have a number of employees. So it's all about teaching at all different age levels. Using the same kinds of skills and improving them as you get older and making things work in different ways.
And I'll bet you 28 years in the chocolate business and you're still not tired of chocolate, right?
Yeah, I probably would want to be, but I'm not in the slightest. I have chocolate daily. I change my favorites from, you know, day to day or week to week or month to month. And I am not tired of chocolate.
Well, you know, what's kind of funny about that is I hear often when I'm talking to winemakers that they kind of get burned out. And there's that expression that in order to make a good wine, it takes a lot of good beer. So the winemakers are drinking beer during their process of, because, you know, they're constantly tasting the wine until it's just exactly what they want. And so they kind of get burned out, but not with chocolate.
Well, you know, the same thing. I worked in the winery in the wine lab for a couple of years, and you're always sampling and tasting, and your tongue needs a break. Your whole palate needs a little bit of break. So with chocolate, it's the same thing. You might want to go down to one piece and really enjoy that one piece and then not have anything for a day a day is a long time for me. But but yeah, it makes complete sense. It's all about, you know, you got to cleanse the palate with something else. So have a salad and right. Then start over again.
It's only like a half hour and then you get back to the chocolate.
Yeah.
So my wife and I had the pleasure of going to Belgium 6 years ago to celebrate our 30-year anniversary. And we took part in the Chocolate Museum in Belgium and did the entire tour there. We also did the French Fry Museum. The chocolate one was far more interesting. There's so much that goes into chocolate, and there's so many different levels of quality that I didn't realize as a kid, because you're eating a Hershey's bar and mm-hmm. everybody that's chocolate. And then when you get to taste really good chocolate, you go, oh man, there's really a difference here. So how is your chocolate so much better? Does it start with the ingredients first and foremost? How much of it is ingredients versus the process and everything that you do during that process?
Well, ingredients are the first. That's the most important. You have to have fresh, clean, beautiful chocolates to start with, blending your all nice, all good ingredients. And then it's how you decide to put things together and how you want to have it, a traditional style. Do you want to be really creative with this? And it's the assortment that you want to create, the shapes. How do you want it to melt? Because there's a lot of varieties of bringing different viscosities, chocolates, sweetnesses. You can choose and blend and create it. And actually, the quality can be equal. It's just style. So there's a lot of good chocolate. The one thing is when I started that long ago, 28 years ago, milk chocolate was the most popular chocolate. Right. And with milk chocolate, there's lovely milk chocolates. I love milk chocolate. But there's a lot of also variances and variables in milk chocolate. You have your milk and your sugars, and they can really change it. And your chocolate liquor, the chocolate mass part, is at a much smaller percentage. When you move up into the darker chocolates, your higher percentages, you're actually going to be able to taste the core chocolate of what chocolate is, where that chocolate came from. Just like in wines, you can compare it to which appellation, where, and where did it grow within that appellation. Chocolates can be in the same manner. They grow at different areas. They blend them different ways. Nowadays, our taste, especially in the West Coast and the East Coast, are much more sophisticated. And we can really enjoy a variety of really high quality chocolates. And it's great. It's wonderful. It's fun.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you are a sommelier of chocolate. Are you actually able to taste a dark chocolate of whatever percentage of cocoa and identify its origin?
You know, that's difficult. I cannot do that. Okay. I do have chocolates. We do make chocolates. So, for example, we have five lines of chocolate that we make: an Ecuadorian, a Madagascan, and a Venezuelan, and a Colombian. Within those, I can tell the difference between all four of those, and I can tell the difference if I add in a traditionally blended, where it takes the beans from many locations and we blend them together.
Right.
I can taste the difference, and I can know where they come from. But there's so much blending involved that most chocolate is blended from an area with a hint of something else. So for me, I am not that talented to be able to tell what region in Ecuador exactly this that would be from, because there's so many different ways to blend that together,
right,
and different areas in Ecuador that it can be, that I would not be able to tell the difference in that. But I can tell the difference between the five that we have in the shop of which is which.
But there are people who can.
There probably are. Absolutely.
I mean, I asked the question just out of curiosity. I don't think that that's a skill that is really necessary, but interesting that people can.
You can. You know, for example, I've been to Hawaii. They have a number of plantations or farms in Hawaii. Now, if I'm working on that farm and I'm making that chocolate myself, I would probably easily be able to tell that I've got five trees with this type of pod growing on this one, and I have this varietal over here. I'm going to make a pure on varietal one, and I'm going to make a pure on varietal two. You're going to be able to completely tell the difference between those, especially if you're tasting chocolate all the time. You can close your eyes and you can smell the difference. So that's an absolute truth. When you start blending slightly, then it's a little bit harder. And if you take a little bit of Hawaii and a little bit of Ecuadorian, then it's very difficult.
Wow. So how do you guys come up with all the different varieties of the shapes, the blends of, like, whether it's caramel or coconut or all of those different things? Is that, because it seems like after 28 years, there probably isn't a combination or a mixture of ingredients that you haven't encountered yet and haven't tried yet.
Well, I'm sure people will come up with all kinds of things, and some of them work out fabulously, and some of them are a little bit just too unique for my palate that I don't prefer them.
Too what?
But too unique. Okay. Too off the left or right side, like a little bit too much.
Like the Gilroy Garlic Festival having garlic ice cream.
Some people are going to absolutely love it. So, you know, there's things for everybody. And Brent and I tend to enjoy items that are, not really, really, really scary off the left or the right side of a flavor profile.
Right.
We like to, we make a chili lime tequila tortilla brittle, which is like a crunchy margarita. For us, it is a fabulous, but for
it's
another person, they might be a little scared, and I don't blame them, but We're open. We try everything. And right. if we like something, we will experiment with it or we'll come up with an idea. Even a customer can come in and, have you done this? Have you tried this? And if it clicks with us, we'll try it. Right. Staff has always got their 2 cents. All the time, kitchen, they all have their 2 cents into what we might try next.
Little company contest kind of things.
It's fun. It's good. Yeah.
I know that the chili lime brittle is one of the favorites of people that come in there. And I just remember the very first time that I tasted it, there just happened to be a fluke that it was like really spicy. And I have to caveat that with I am the biggest lightweight when it comes to anything spicy. And I went, oh, my goodness, this is really spicy. But it's always been just a nice hint of spice thereafter. And it probably really wasn't even very spicy. It was
Never know. It might have been. We also did a fiery brittle, which is really hot. Now, it could have been that they were sitting too close to each other on the counter. A little cross-contamination. But the chili lime has a little bit of a spice. It's more lime.
Right.
And again, everybody's palate's different, too. Right. So if they can be hypersensitive to citrus or, hot. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Wow, I cannot believe the time just flew by so fast, and I didn't even do the real estate minute or anything, and we are at the bottom of the hour where we need to take a break. So, Annette, tell everybody your address again and how they can come and buy stocking stuffers and chocolate for Christmas.
Oh, yes. All right. We have the two shops downtown. So we have a little shop inside Oxbow Public Market on First Street, and then our larger shop where we also make ice cream and have an espresso bar is at 1321 First Street. And you can order online at Annette's.com. That's with one N.
That's the uniqueness. Yeah, if you type in Annette with one N, you're going to find her.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my daughter, Michaela. Nobody spells it the way that she spells it. So you, Cher, Michaela, Madonna, you just type in the first name and you pop up on Google probably.
Yes.
All right. Annette, thank you so much for being here. And Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you.
All right. We will be right back.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
How can your organization benefit from KBS leaders? KBS Interim Executive and Leadership Consulting has more than 120 years of award-winning experience. The dream team at KBS Leaders brings diverse expertise to address the unique challenges and concerns of any organization. KBS Leaders can fill a vacant position, create a strategy, or enhance the effectiveness of leaders or a team. Led by Kim Brown Sims, KBS Leaders creates and transforms leaders of any type of organization, resulting in a more compassionate, collaborative, and focused workplace. Visit kbsleaders.com to learn more. Schedule a consultation to achieve the unimaginable.
Welcome back, excuse me, to All Things Napa. That was really interesting talking to Annette and getting to know her and learning a little bit about the chocolate business, and there's so many different varietals. Now we're going to shift gears just a little bit. But before we do, before we talk to Bonnie of GodAndGirls.com, I always like to share a Napa nugget. And I've shared various things such as only 4% of all California-grown grapes actually come from Napa Valley. We got the good stuff, the best, but not high volume. I've also shared that 95% of all Napa Valley wineries are actually family-owned, and that there are 502 brick-and-mortar wineries in Napa County alone and over 1,100 brands of wine. Those are past Napa nuggets. Today's is 10% of Napa County is in permanent conservation easements. That is our community taking care of where we live and making sure that it doesn't turn into another San Jose, or nothing against San Jose. Nice place to visit. I did live there once, so I guess I can talk disparagingly about it. Never going to go back there. But that's pretty cool that 10% of Napa County is never going to be built upon. So that is your Napa nugget for the day. And now, I'm just cutting out all kinds of the regular stuff that I talk about because I'm so excited about these guests today. So we're going to give them a little extra time. And now everybody else that comes in is going to go, oh, I want longer time like you did for Annette and Bonnie. So with no further ado, Bonnie, welcome.
Hey. Yes. Thank you so much, Lee.
That is a familiar hey. Because Garden yes. Girls was a sponsor for a good long time on The Vine and KVON, and that's where you grew your business so successfully. And also Napa Business Advantage helped your business, too.
Tremendously.
Okay, you got to talk right into the mic like you're a rock star.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
So I started my business in 2006. However, I was in Massachusetts, and being a landscape designer installer, it wasn't going all that well in 5 feet of snow. So I decided I wanted to do this 12 months a year, and I moved to Napa in 2013 and changed my life. Came to the most beautiful valley here, so that way I could landscape.
And not shovel snow and only work for, what, 6-7 months out of the year?
If that. You know, there was snow in April, there was snow in October. Very fortunate to have the opportunity to be able to come out here and work in this gorgeous valley. So I did restart my business in 2014. So we are on my fifth year here in Napa. And doing design and install, anything from patios, pergolas, fireplaces, plantings, irrigation. It's about design and redesign, making it beautiful.
Making Napa beautiful one garden at a time?
One garden at a time.
Well, it's good that you got the whole Boston thing out early in the interview so that when you slip into that, people are going, oh, okay, I get it.
It's just coffee.
So should we tell them the story about how I stalked you before I knew you?
Oh, yeah. So it was in 2013, I actually came here. I was working with Pacific Landscapes. And Lee hunted me down. I was driving down the little car with the little Pacific Landscapes on it. And he backed in. He's like, hey, you want to join a Napa Business Advantage? You want to come to this thing? And I was like, well, okay. Like, he followed me.
Yeah. I followed you, like, from, I don't know, roughly from Trancas and Jefferson all the way to your house, which was at least 7 or 8 turns in a residential area. And I just remember, she's going to think I'm some kind of freak or whatever. But I was thinking, hey, I just started this business referral group. We don't have a landscape company. And there's one right in front of me. It says it right on the vehicle. And so that's where it all started.
It really did change for me because coming out here and working for another company, and it was a decision to start back on my own again and, you know, take my business back.
Right.
You know, I'm not a Moblo person. I'm not maintenance. I am design and install, and it really made a difference. And joining Napa Business Advantage gave me that opportunity to meet other people, get more into the industry, know people in construction. It tied the people together that I needed to grow my business. And if it wasn't for Napa Business Advantage, I'm not sure I would have started my business off again. You know, I kind of was in a little bit of a low, and definitely the support and the people in that group helped and guided me.
Wow. I'm getting a little choked up.
Thanks,
I am. I, As I often say on this show, I am a serial networker. I absolutely love to connect people, not romance-wise, but business-wise. And I love to meet people and talk to them and then find out something that comes up in the conversation. And I go, you need to meet so-and-so, and I got a guy for that, or I got a girl for that, and I love putting people together, and that's why I enjoy Napa Business Advantage as much as I do. So,
and kudos to you, Lee, for all that you have done. It is really nice, and even our, you know, benefit that we did last night, to be able to donate $500 to different charities is such a nice giving back to our community.
Right.
And I love the opportunity of being a part of that as well.
Well, thank you for that. And you, you know, we're going to dish each other compliments here. time's up.
No, but you
contribute so mightily to the group. So thank you for what you do too. But let's talk more about you and your business. If you weren't doing GardenGirls.com, what would you be doing?
So I have a marketing and economics background.
That is very prevalent in your brand. Kudos to you for that.
Thank you. Yes, you can find me at GardenGirls.com.
Yeah.
And but if I wasn't
what would be cool is if when they logged in, as soon as they hit that page, that they heard, hey.
Right? It would be good. I'll work on that.
Yeah.
That's in February when it's raining. That's when I work on my website.
Right.
But yes, I do that too. I do everything pretty much myself to run and start this business. But I was doing marketing and sales prior to this, and I was going through a divorce and living in a basement apartment. And my landlord came by and was pulling out my flowers. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And it was kind of like devastation. And my buddy's like, well, hey, man, if you want to come over and weed my yard, you can. I was like, okay, I'll do it. So it became my calling. Like, it was peace. It was serenity to me. It was. It was making it beautiful, giving my own dreamscapes and making my dream part of it.
Right.
And so, yeah, no, I never thought I would be doing this, but I wouldn't give it up. I have such a passion and love for plants, flowers. Gosh, you'd hear me talking to them as I walk around. Oh, you look so good.
they say that they like, I mean, those people
See,
in the know
too.
Say that the plants like that. And I've never heard a plant answer back, but I don't know.
They flower.
Yeah. So what are your, you've done great for 5 years.
Yes.
You're employing multiple people now and helping homeowners because you do commercial and residential, right?
Yes. And this is actually a family run business. My daughter is my project manager. My brother is coming on board to be my foreman. My husband is my general contractor. So anything that, as far as the woodworking, and then I just suckered my mom into doing my books, but you know. But it is family run, and I do have some awesome, great guys that have been with me for a couple of years. So it's moving along and growing as
you desire it to. What's your plans for the next 5 years? Do you expect to double, or you just want to keep things going the way that they are? And
I have almost doubled every year so far in 5 years.
Wow.
I started off, you know, Napa Business Advantage. One of the guys in the thing in the group was like, well, I have this project if you want to start here. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, a little over my head, but now I'm like, oh, I got this.
Right.
5 years later, and I'm looking forward to doing more projects. I like the commercial jobs. I love to be able to go in and out, and you know, even if a house goes for sale, you know, I can do it one day, bam, in, out, five guys hit that thing and it's done.
That's good to know. That's really good to know. You hear all that, all those realtors out there that are listening to this, GardenGirls.com. As soon as you get that listing and that house is looking a little deferred maintenance in terms of the landscape, Bonnie's your gal. All right. So let's talk about some of the biggest challenges that you face in this industry.
I think the personal challenge is just being able to juggle everything that's going on.
Right. But specific to the industry, there's not any that you encounter. Do people automatically assume that you're the mow and go person, and so you've got to kind of educate them that no, there's plenty of people that do that. I'm a little bit more artistic and creative in what I do.
To meet me is to love me. Come on, Lee. But yes, it definitely. I'm not a mow and blow person.
Right.
As far as maintenance, I would love to be able to take on maintenance. I need to grow my business a little more in order to be taking on more maintenance for people. But right now it's just basically construction. And that is kind of a stumbling block because, I would love to be able to take care of all of these properties. And just here in Napa, I've done thousands already. I mean, I really have, whether it's a small job, a big job. I mean, you look at Stone Brewery downtown. I mean, that is beautiful.
Right.
I did that. And
who did that, Bronnie?
Oh, I did.
Oh, Garden Girls did Stone Brewing. Okay.
And I do maintain it as well. It's one of the smaller ones that I'm able to maintain. It's just in order to grow my business.
Right.
It takes more time.
Right. So I know from when we were hanging out the other night at your house that you have a big project coming up. You got enough staff for that?
I do. Okay. I do. At the moment. If this other project comes through, then I'm going to be looking for another team, and I will be hiring more people to go.
Okay, cool.
So it is a point of juggling between, because everything has a different project, so whether it's artificial turf or whether I need to build a patio or I need a pergola, deck, fireplace, hot tub, bocce ball court, gas fireplace, there's a lot of things that I do, but there's some things that I need to sub out. And then there's things that where it's like, oh, I got to wait for something, so I might as well go do something else,
Right.
So it does bounce around, and that's one of the things that my guys love is that we're never doing the same thing every single day.
Right. Now, who determines the actual design? I mean, obviously you do the design, but does the homeowner or business give you a rough idea of something that they want, or do they often just say, I don't know, you just give me a couple options?
It's a little of both. I mean, I have this one client that really wants a bocce ball court, and it doesn't fit.
And even ball
if I make it small, it's
going to
look a little
it.
Funny. Right. So as much as he may want a bocce ball court, I'm not sure he's going to get one because it doesn't fit.
I wanted a bocce ball court, too, and we ended up not doing it because it wouldn't fit. I was trying to convince my wife, we don't have to have a regulation bocce court. We had a good 100 feet. I know that's shorter than normal, but we opted for the pergola instead. So I want to back up to where we were hanging out the other, and I probably should have checked with you off the air first, but for our listeners, Bonnie invited a bunch of people over to make homemade wreaths, and that's the first time that I've ever done that.
And you did lovely.
Thank you. You know why it turned out? Because Bonnie assured everybody as we were wrapping all of the different greenery around the wire, she said, don't worry about anything. I can fix anything. And so we would put all of the material on there, and then we'd hand it to Bonnie, and she added a little more where it was sparse and ripped a few things off and it turned out beautiful. Are you going to be doing that anymore between now and Christmas?
You can purchase my wreaths at Sunshine Foods in St. Helena.
Okay.
I am selling them there. I do orders and delivery, but I'm not going to be doing any more classes this year. You have to wait for next year to
Too
come back.
Too bad, so
overly.
Sad. You missed out, people. But they can always get in touch with you at gardengirls.com.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. All right. So I want to know if there has ever been one particular project that you did that is way more successful or that you just have so much more pride in than others, without hurting anyone's feelings if you don't mention their project. But
you know, to drive by houses and see how everything grows in, or to look at somebody's patio and walkway, and I drive by them all the time. I love to drive back around and take a look and admire, because the curb appeal is the first thing that you see. You know, whether you're buying a house, selling a house, or, you know, living, it's a point of making it the best. And out here in Napa, the best part of it is that you can make your outside more space and extra rooms and sitting rooms and tables and kitchens and, you know, play areas. And it is a point of giving all of the different things. I mean, a lot of people, like, you know, who doesn't want to sit in a fireplace underneath the stars, you know, or sit under a pergola on a rainy day on a covered pergola?
Right.
It just extends your living. And, you know, a lot of the small houses, and you want to make it bigger, make it outside.
But yeah, well, and we have that benefit, and probably nobody appreciates it more than you, that we can have so much outdoor living space year round, you know, save for the few days that it's raining here and there. But
and it does increase the value of your home.
Oh, absolutely. But it also increases the quality of life that you're having at your home. So, we still have work to do on the inside of ours, but we applied most of our effort to the outside. So, and you were there to help us with our irrigation. So thank you very much. Man, I just had a good question that I've... Oh, so the point I was going to make was, I think that it's probably similar as a landscape person to being a realtor, in that it, Joe Public, Jane Public, they think, oh, I know what a shovel is. I know how to use a shovel, and I can go to Home Depot and I can get plants. So I don't need garden girls. I don't need Lee to be my realtor, because there's Zillow. And so because there's so much information around, people think that they know everything that they need to know, until they don't, and until their landscape project goes awry, or their for sale by owner sits and sits and sits. And even if they do get a sale from a for sale by owner, did they get the most money? Because only the neighbors drove by it and saw it and told their friends. It's not this mass marketing that literally could be worldwide, if you use me. So do you encounter that a lot, where people start to talk to you and then probably even pick your brain, get the ideas, and then go off and do their own thing?
And I'm perfectly fine with that too. I enjoy walking around and being able to help people. And it is a point of doing things right. Coming onto a job where, you know, like somebody's like, oh, I planted this, I made this stone wall, and, you know, for some reason it's falling apart. Like, you know, you know, you do have to put footings, you do have to, you know, whether concrete and rebar and doing the base rock and compacting properly. It's about doing it right. And I do pride myself on doing the job the right way the first time to make it beautiful. And it does... It upkeep. I mean, many people do things, but it's also upkeep too. You do have to come back and maintain and, like, refresh your mulch once a year. You really should. Or you're going to refresh your rock every 3 years. It's a point of keeping up with it and taking care of it.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know. What are some other tips that you can think of in terms of maybe mixing different plants, because there's probably some that don't get along all that well?
Being from the East Coast, it's amazing how many different plants are out here and what you can plant out here that you can't necessarily plant back in New England. So you do have a much bigger variety of things. And, you know, when I look at stuff, I want to know, is this going to be evergreen or is this deciduous? And having that right mix in the front of your house where not everything is deciduous. And so come December, you're looking at it and it's all sticks. So you want to try to hit for every season to bloom. So you need something that's going to bloom in the winter, spring, fall, summer, and bring out the colors that you want that are going to accent. Some people will stay more to, you know, like, I want a white, purple, blues, or I want the red, orange, yellow, or I don't care what color, or I just want white. I mean, it is a point of picking your theme and following through with it, but it's also a point of bringing in that color 12 months a year and not just, oh, all of this blooms in the summer, and so what are you going to do in the wintertime, you know? And the different leaves make a difference, too. So, I mean, if you're going to go with a boxwood, then you would want to, you know, that's going to stay, it's going to be an evergreen, but you look at the type of leaf it is and you kind of change it. Like maybe you need a fern, or maybe you need something a little bit more spiky. So it's giving that different varieties and different textures and layering the textures in your landscape.
Very good. I wonder how many people out there didn't hear a thing you said after deciduous.
So you need some leaves to stay on the trees and some that are going to fall. So you want to have a nice mix, especially right in the front of your house, right underneath your window or something, you know, accenting it off. It's a point of giving it the mix.
Right. So the evergreen, duh, they stay on. Deciduous, they drop.
Yes.
Okay. And that is your word of the day. We're talking to Bonnie Crevier of GardenGirls.com, and we are just about out of time. So I will give you the last word if there's anything else that you can think of other than a $500 gift certificate in somebody's stocking would probably be a pretty cool thing.
It definitely would be.
And just because you're on the show today, they can buy that $500 gift certificate for $499. I didn't even check with you first on that either.
Thanks, Lee. You know, it is quite a gift to give somebody. If you wanted to give somebody a cleanup in their yard, I mean, that's pretty special.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, if you did give a call and wanted to do that, I would be happy to do that at a discounted price. I'd do 20% off to call today.
Oh, that's a lot better than my discount. So you get 20% off and another dollar off just because I opened my mouth. So, all right, we are going to wrap it up there. I thank you very much, Bonnie. It's been fun having Annette and Bonnie in the house. And again, you listeners out there, I'm booked for the next couple of weeks with shows. In fact, I won't be back on the air until, like January 8th. But that's because I'm booked next week with guests. And then, of course, Christmas Day is on a Wednesday. Not going to be here. New Year's Day is a Wednesday. I am not going to be here. But we'll be running some of the old shows. I assume. I'm not the owner of the station. But you can also listen to any of the All Things Napa episodes at kvon.com. They're on podcast there, so keep that in mind. And boy, I got like multiple frogs in my throat this morning. It was all that cheering and clapping from the fundraiser that we did last night, I suppose. So, thanks for tuning in, and remember to live your life like your legacy matters, because it does. Merry Christmas, everyone, and we will talk to you next week.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
How can your organization benefit from KBS leaders? KBS Interim Executive and Leadership Consulting has more than 120 years of award-winning experience. The dream team at KBS Leaders brings diverse expertise to address the unique challenges and concerns of any organization. KBS Leaders can fill a vacant position, create a strategy, or enhance the effectiveness of leaders or a team. Led by Kim Brown Sims, KBS Leaders creates and transforms leaders of any type of organization, resulting in a more compassionate, collaborative, and focused workplace. Visit kbsleaders.com to learn more. Schedule a consultation to achieve the unimaginable.